The scripture for today is from Matthew 28, verse 16 through 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
About 15 years ago, Alex, our oldest grandson, who's in the Air Force now with a baby boy, he and his mom lived with us over when I was serving Taylor Lake. And that Christmas when he was six, I decided Alex needed a basketball goal. He loved basketball. He had tried baseball. He didn't like it, but he loved basketball. So I went out and bought him a basketball goal for Christmas. We were going to put it together Christmas Eve. Now, Alex was the only grandchild at the moment. And being a dutiful grandparent, I went to the sporting goods store and said, "I want the best freestanding basketball goal you've got for my grandson." And so I bought it. It was the Conga Gorilla of basketball goals. Took it home. It was in a big box. Fortunately, I had a bigger car then. And I had two sons-in-laws and would come in for Christmas. And I knew that they could help me put it together. So we started that evening late, starting at about 9 o'clock because had to put Alex down first because he couldn't see while we were putting it together. And we ripped open the box and started pulling stuff out and putting the papers and stuff back in the box. And we started to build the basketball goal. Well, let me set it for you. Okay, one son-in-law is a doctor, so he's got at least two, probably three degrees. The other son-in-law is studying for his PhD in history, so he's got two going on three. And I have gone to seminary. I want to tell you, I graduated from Bright Divinity School summa cum barely. So we had six or eight degrees amongst us. It looked like when we got the parts all out, it looked like someone had taken a V8 engine completely apart and just thrown the parts in a pile. Because this basketball goal, it adjusted from 6 feet to 10 feet. And the goal was especially made so that if you grabbed on the rim, it had springs and it couldn't break. It was amazing, except we couldn't put it together. And we wouldn't admit it. So we worked. At 10 o'clock, we really still thought we could get the thing together. At 11 o'clock, we had already thrown the instruction book in the trash. We could not admit our failure. It's a guy thing, but I've known gals that are built the same way, that I can do this. We don't need no stinking instructions. So about 11 o'clock, we're still working on it. We get the instructions, and it goes together, I wouldn't say quickly, because we're pretty frazzled by that time. But it does go together. Hence the sermon title, "When All Else Fails." Read the instructions. Okay, well let's look at this passage a little more closely. It's all at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. He's telling them that one last thing. You remember, the last thing you're told is always the most important thing. You know, it says the 11 disciples went to Galilee up to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Wow. This is after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after all the announcements he had appeared to people, and there were still doubts. I think doubt is just built in. You remember my doubt sermon? If you were not here for $4.95, you can get that sermon on video. No, it's free. It's free. Go to the website. But doubt is built into the system. It just is. But the particular instructions in this passage are for you and me. The particular instructions in this passage are for building a church. Go, therefore. Go. An active verb. It doesn't say sit. Sit ye down Sunday at 11 and wait. For as it said in the good book of A Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. It doesn't say that, does it? It says go. The church is an active verb, not a passive noun. And go where? Go everywhere. Not just to the neighborhoods that we are familiar with. Not just to the people that we most associate with. We are to go everywhere and share the gospel. I have a new friend that I met yesterday at the Americana Music Festival. Her name is Denise, and she's a pastor in a little outreach church in Conroe. And I'm going to go over there Tuesday. She asked me if I would come start teaching a class on Tuesday. She deals with the homeless, with the down and out, with those who are addicted, for those who are, this is their last chance. She actually has a little retreat center where they can stay there on the property. She asked if I would be a part of their teaching how to live successful lives. My response to her was, "You're talking to me?" But yes, we are told to go, not sit. We are told to make disciples. What does that mean? To make disciples. What is a disciple? A follower, a student, a learner. Yeah. Do we have all the answers once we have become disciples? No. In fact, we're not real sure we've got all the good questions to ask yet. But disciples are learners. Never, ever, ever think we've got it made because we have dressed up and we have come and we have been elected to an eldership or a deaconship or a committee chairmanship. Ooh. No, we are still learners. We are still learners in being disciples. So we are to go, we are to make disciples, encourage other people to come and become learners. And then what are we to do? To teach. We are to teach. What are we to teach about? Jesus said, teach them about me. Okay? And then he made a promise to them, I will be with you always. Well, I talked about this, and Atticus was half right. I did get some help finishing this sermon from him this morning. How do we go about teaching? What do we teach? What is our instruction manual? Okay. Yeah. If you want to get the instruction manual for what Jesus told his followers at the end of Matthew, where do you go? New Testament, the Gospels, right? And if you're really lucky, you've got a Bible that's got red letters in it. And what we've talked about that, what does that mean? All the words that are attributed to Jesus are in red letters. So if we just go there and we start picking out the teaching that he gave to others, then we can make disciples as we learn ourselves. Which leads me to this 8-point sermon. Oh dear. What was the first thing? What was the first? One of the very first things that he told them. In fact, they were really the first words out of his mouth after he had been baptized and he started his ministry was, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does repent mean? It means, oh man, I'm such a bum, I'm so sorry. No, it literally means to change directions. That's what the word itself means. It means to change your direction. So the first thing we have to do is, if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what? What you're getting, right? So the first thing we must do is change directions. That's what we should be in here about, is learning how to change our direction. What was the second thing that he taught them? And this is not in any particular order. These are the order that Atticus and I just came up with. What is the one word that most describes Jesus' relationship to others? Love. And this is where it gets tricky, because we are to love each other even as we have been loved. And then he does that inconvenient thing of telling us to love our enemies. For God so loved the world, he didn't. For God so loved the church, did he say that? So those whom we are not comfortable with, we love. For those who view politics or culture or anything differently than we do, what do? We love. And then he taught lessons in prioritizing. And he did it this way. He said, do not make your life about accumulating things. Do not make your life about accumulating things. He didn't mean Lego, though. Legos are okay. Ronald Weasley was right when he was talking about Hermione. When he said, she needs to sort out her priorities. And we all need to sort out our priorities, don't we? How many hours of your day are spent in the accumulation, the counting, or the fiddling with things? Oh me, that's a question I don't want to answer myself. That's the third lesson that we learn. The fourth, and this is hard for us, don't judge. Do not judge others unless you want to be judged with the same judgment with which you judge others. And I can promise you, I do not want to be judged with the sort of judgment that I have been guilty of. Do you? Don't judge. Even at this table, who gets to decide who comes here? Yeah, you can say God. If you're like Isaac and you answer every question God or Jesus, you're going to be close to right. Who decides to come here is those who decide to come here. And we all come here with different emotions, different motivations, maybe even different reasons on a given Sunday. Sometimes we come and we do not feel worthy to come to this table, and that's when we most need to come. And then the next lesson, I'm making pretty headway, so I've got 2 minutes. Lose your anxiety. Anxiety will get you nowhere. It just won't. It never solved a problem. Where do you leave your anxiety? Leave it here. Leave it right on the altar of prayer. Come in here and pray and leave your worries here. That doesn't mean don't deal with them and solve problems when they come up. But the pure anxiety of it is not going to help you. The next lesson that he taught was be generous. When did I do that to you, Lord? Well, when you did so to the least of these, when you fed and clothed and you helped care for the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. I am proud of y'all as a church family. And this sounds like bragging, and it is, but I'm bragging on y'all. We do more outreach ministry than any church, not just this size, of any size that I've ever been associated with. It's wonderful the level of outreach ministry that we do. And you know what? We're going to do a whole bunch more. And then the last lesson, if you're counting. Fear not. Worry and fear are two mind numbers. You can never figure out the solution to a problem if you're either fretting about it or fearing it. Take heart, it is I. Have no fear. And then finally, just live joyfully. I love that passage toward the end of John when he says, you know, I came that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be what? Complete. Complete. Live joyfully. I want you to just imagine. Remember that song, Imagine? I'm not too keen on everything that was in that song, but just imagine, if you can, a world in which most people lived by these simple instructions. Turn your life, love, get your priorities straight, don't judge others, don't worry about things out of your control, be generous to a fault, fear not, and live joyfully. If we obey those instructions, we will do that. Let's get busy. Amen.